Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Kopi Janapallabha Giri Varadhari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Kopi Janapalabha Giri Varadhari Yasodhanandana praja janaranjana Yasodhanandana praja janaranjana Jamunathira Panachari Jamunathira Panachari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janapallabha Giri Varadhari Yasodhanandana praja janaranjana Jamunathira Panachari Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishnaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatape Shadharine Sindhubya evacha Patithanam Bhagavibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Yamuna Devi, thank you. Raghunath Prabhu, thank you. Raghunath Prabhu, Yamuna Devi have so kindly opened the doors to their homes once again for us. Have you been having many programs in your house?
Not that many.
I came back. I think it's, according to Vrindavan Prabhu, it was 8 years. Accept your authority. A mother's love for her children takes authoritative priority over managers. I'm so grateful to be back with all of you. This extension of the house, or was it the whole house that was being built? And sometimes I'd come here during the planning stages, and it was actually built around having satsang programs for devotees. Now the choice of the floor was the nicest floor to dance upon. And the way the pillars, everything, was designed, constructed, and built to serve. Giridhari Prabhu Swami. Hare Krishna. And it is that principle that spiritualizes whatever we do. Your setting this up is giving me great solace because I'm not feeling so bad for being late. I see that someone else is later. This is the principle of Yukta Vairagya. That whatever we can do, whatever we have, and whatever we do, the difference between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness, which extends to whether our activities or the things we utilize from our activities, what determines whether they are material or spiritual is the consciousness in which they are engaged. When they are used to serve God, to serve Krishna, and to extend Krishna's grace to the people of this world. That is seva, service. That spiritualizes everything. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear the story from His Holiness Bhadrasana Swami Maharaj. Thank you, Prabhu. About Kolavecha Sridhar. You have all heard that story many times. He was a simple banana leaf seller. Anybody could sell banana leaves. You don't need a high education. You don't need an engineering degree. You don't need money or resources. You don't need political connections. In Bengal, there are banana trees everywhere. It's like banana tree loca. And especially 500 years ago when it was there was no cities. It was very agrarian, agricultural, and bananas were a favorite food, and banana trees were everywhere. Limitless banana leaves. Kulavecha Sridhar had his own little plantation where he would grow banana leaves too. He would sit on this roadside and sell the leaves. And every now and then he had some bananas. And sometimes he had some roots from the banana trees. And sometimes flowers from the banana trees. You could get them anywhere. And that's how he made his living. And he was so simple-hearted and such a well-wisher. When somebody came up to stop where he was, he wasn't thinking, how much profit can I get from this person? He was, in his heart, just feeling so much love and respect for every person. How can I make this person happy while making a living? And he sold for the cheapest possible price that he could survive with. Not because of the market, but because that's just who he was. That was his value in life. And we like to think in the motivational speakers' talks that he was like this and he became a millionaire. It's better than that. He lived in abject poverty. He had a little hut, one room with a leaky straw roof, mud floor. He had no furniture. Practically his only possession was this very old, dented iron pot that he would use when he went outside, you know, to do his duties out there, or to carry water. His clothes were tattered, extremely worn out. Materially, there was no prestige. And nobody was saying he was saintly. Sometimes you dress like that so that people think you're saintly. And they do sometimes. Not him. They didn't think of him at all. He was just a simple banal. Nobody even knew his name. His name was Sridhar. But they would just say Kulavecha. The banana leaf seller. What a beautiful life that is. It's actually totally against the grain of the whole capitalistic conception. That if you get an education and you get money and you get prestige, you may get power and you'll get nice clothes and you'll get nice food, Kulavecha Sridhar was practically emaciated thin because he hardly had food. And Nimai, Lord Chaitanya, before he began the Sankirtan movement, he was a student and later a teacher. He was a boy growing up. Every day he would go to Sridhar. How much is this banana leaf? How much is this banana root?
Oh, banana.
Sridhar would give him the lowest price anyone could find.
He said, why are you trying to cheat me by charging too much? I will give you half.
And they would argue over the price for 3 hours. Yes, Larsana Maharaj? Please interject whenever you feel inspired. And oftentimes, most of the time, after 3 hours of bargaining over like a few coins, Nimai said, I will just take them and give you nothing. And he would take them and walk away. Why the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, the source of everything that exists, the ultimate worshipable deity of all the demigods, of all the saints, of all the sages. You know, 500 years ago, in Italy, there were massive cathedrals. I was just there walking through some of them a few weeks ago. In Europe, so many massive cathedrals and masjids, mosques and churches and temples. And it's Nimai being worshipped in all of them, the same one God. But when Nimai comes to the earth directly, he's spending 3 hours a day arguing over banana leaves with the simplest unknown beggar. Doesn't God have better things to do than that? You know, our motto in the West is time is money and all of that. But the currency of bhakti was being exchanged. Nimai said, Sridhar, even atheists, look at how wealthy they are. And demigod worshippers, look at how wealthy they are. Look at how well fed, nice clothes, comfortable homes. You're emaciated. There's so many holes in your clothes you have to tighten. You don't even sew them. You just tie knots to tie the two sides of the ribs together. And your house is just a leaky little hut. And you worship Krishna. What is he doing for you? Kulavetra Sridhar. He responded, Nimai, why are you harassing me in like this? You know, the birds are dressed with nice feathers. They have nice nests. And I don't see that great kings and palaces are any happier. Krishna's providing everything. I'm happy. Nimai said, someday I will expose you for the wealth that you're hiding from everyone. That's an accusation. Sridhar said, I'm not hiding anything. What you see is, no, you are hiding, and I will expose. This went on for years. And then when Nimai became an initiated disciple of Sripad Ishwarapuri and he returned to Navadvip, he was already the most renowned scholar in the planet. he began the Harinam Sankirtan movement. I was just listening to a recording of Srila Prabhupada. He was extolling the power of Nimai. When the Chankasi was persecuting the devotees, Lord Chaitanya just spoke a few lines. He said, "Today I will dance in the street to the house of Chankasi and let us see what he will do to me. Everyone, come this afternoon, bring a torch, and we will have kirtan together." Now, today, Raghunath and Prabhu and Yamuna Devi, they only had a few hours to arrange this program. And there's quite a nice turnout, actually. I was hoping and praying it wouldn't be more than this. Because, you know, when you live in India, you know, it's not a rare thing to see a lot of people. But Nimai, he made that statement, and within a couple hours, there was hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people assembled. And they were all willing and ready to take any risk and put down their lives to dance and chant with Lord Chaitanya. Even though they knew the military, the police, the government had just outlawed it and persecuted and punished and plundered anybody who broke the law. He said, "Everyone come, we're going to break the law, we're going to go there." Hundreds and thousands, and they all followed. Such an influence. That was just a drop from the ocean of his influence. And during that historic Sankirtan parade to Chankasi's, where the head of the government for the Navadweep area, he surrendered his heart and his life to Lord Chaitanya and made a law that Sankirtan will never be disturbed as long as myself or any of my ancestors or succession of followers are here. He became a pure devotee of the Lord. He was in charge of the police and the military. And Lord Chaitanya, just by the purity of his compassion, transformed his heart into becoming a great devotee. And he became a great devotee without even converting from one religion to another. He became a pure devotee of Lord Chaitanya while still being a Muslim externally. It was such a victory. And it was the first time in the modern era, when I say modern, which means within the last 500 years, first time the Harinam Sankirtan was brought out into the streets. It was historical. And how did Nimai celebrate? He went to Kulavetra Sridhar's shack. You know, this is his victory celebration. He just went to Kulavetra Sridhar's little straw hut. And he saw outside of it was this very old, weathered, dented iron cup.
And it had water in it that Kalavecha Sridhar used for all cleaning purposes and everything. He picked up the cup and drank the water. Kalavecha Sridhar now, you know, after Nimai started Sankirtan movement, Kalavecha Sridhar understood this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He couldn't believe what he was saying. No, no, my Lord, you cannot drink that. It's dirty water from my cleaning pot. No, you cannot drink this. He was in grief. He fell to the ground. And Nimai drank more. And all the intimate devotees who were with Lord Chaitanya, they were astonished. Because as Lord Chaitanya was drinking this just simple water from a well, tears were pouring from his eyes, his hairs were standing on end, his limbs were trembling as he chanted Krishna's names. And Lord Chaitanya proclaimed for all those people to hear, I have never tasted the sweetness of love of God, love of Krishna, as much as today, after drinking the water from Sridhar's cup. And I think Sridhar might have fell unconscious. But no one had ever seen Lord Chaitanya in that kind of ecstasy. Now, you know, in our modern day tales, we'd like to hear after he drank the water from the cup, you know, Sridhar's hut became a palace. And his rags became silken robes with gold and silver and diamonds and rubies and lapis lazuli and ivory. He became opulent, and his body became very strong and beautiful and athletic because the Lord drank water from his cup. What happened? The Lord drank water from his cup. The hut was the same. His clothes were the same. He was still just as hungry. But the wealth, the premadan, the wealth of ecstatic love of God he was feeling. And what was the feeling he was experiencing? That Lord Chaitanya enjoyed his water. That was his happiness. For Kalavecha Sridhar, seeing that Lord Chaitanya enjoyed his water is a greater treasure that brought infinitely more happiness than any amount of money, power, fame, popularity, or skills could ever give one. And it was forever. In this pastime, Lord Chaitanya fulfilled his promise. He exposed the hidden wealth of Sridhar. The wealth that could conquer the supreme proprietor of everything that exists. So he had so little, but he had such a deep desire to please the Lord and please the devotees of the Lord and be a vessel of Mahaprabhu's grace to the world. A little later, Lord Chaitanya went to Jagannath Puri to reside, and that was the Rath Yatra.
and there was King Prataparudra. He was so opposite Kolaveja Sridhar externally. He was the king. And in those days, Odisha included most of Andhra Pradesh, much of Bihar. It was actually a huge estate. Not Bihar, but what is now, it's divided in so many states, India. But it was a very, Chhattisgarh. He had palaces. He had queen. He had princes and princesses. He had massive armies, huge treasuries. And what's hard to understand these days, he didn't have to prepare for a campaign every 4 years to keep any of it. You know, kings were kings until either you die or you just give it to one of your children and everything that comes with the king. He was true royalty. But he saw everything as the property of Krishna, Jagannath. I'm just the trustee. This is all entrusted to in my care, but it is all the property of the Lord. And everything must be used in the service of the Lord. And all the citizens are Jagannath's children. And they are all entrusted under my care. Whatever I have doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Jagannath and his children. And that's how he used everything. He was perhaps a multi-billionaire by our conceptions. But he had the same simple heart as Kolaveja Sridhar. And when the Rath Yatra was about to begin, from his heart, sometimes political people, they do things very grassroots to get votes. Yes, you've seen. He never needed a single vote, ever. He was the undisputed king. But when everyone was assembled before Jagannath, he swept the street with a simple broom. When Lord Chaitanya was seeing him sweeping, the Lord's in our heart. And when Lord Gauranga was standing close by, he was seeing not just what his hands were doing, he was seeing his motive, his sincerity, his purpose. From the core of his heart, he was honestly and earnestly just the most humble, menial servant of Jagannath and all the people. And that's how he was a king. And he was making the hardest decisions. And where justice was due, he was there. Protection of citizens. When invading armies came, he didn't just sweep the street. He was activated. He was a leader, a fearless leader. But in his heart, even when he was doing all those things, is in the mode of just a menial servant. It was all like sweeping the street for Jagannath, the humblest position. What does it require to sweep? Any child can sweep. So when we speak about whatever we have or whatever we don't have, when we engage everything in a mood to serve, to please Krishna, to please our gurus, to please the Vaishnavas, to uplift the people of the world. When that is our motive, however simple, and whether anybody else recognizes it, with Kalabhacha Sridhar, until Lord Chaitanya revealed it to the world, all those years nobody recognized any greatness in him. But now here it is 500 years later and more, and we're still talking about it. And his glories will live forever. When Lord Chaitanya offered Kalabhacha Sridhar any benediction in the world, I'll give you royal wealth, I'll give you a heavenly kingdom, I'll give you liberation, I'll give you mystic powers to perform miracles. Sridhar said, those things are all disturbances. I don't want any of those. I just want to serve you. I just want to be the servant of your servants. And all these other things I just see as distractions. What the whole world sees as the aim of life, he saw as distractions. Param drishtva nivartate, because he was experiencing something higher. Pleasing Krishna, that's the higher taste. When Lord Chaitanya insisted, Kalabhacha Sridhar said, if you want to give me something, then just give me this. That in every birth I may take, wherever I may be, I will never forget that little boy Nimai coming to steal my bananas. Let me always see this in my heart. You're coming to steal my bananas. And King Prataparudra, in order to please the Lord, he was willing to give up everything and become a beggar just like Kalabhacha Sridhar. And he was serious. And all the devotees took it very serious. If Lord Chaitanya is against me because of my royalty and my kingdom, I will become a homeless beggar. He was willing and ready to do it immediately. For the rest of his life. The devotee said, no, just we'll try to arrange something. And Lord Chaitanya didn't want that either. And then we see in the coming pages of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita how King Prataparudra simply used everything to serve the Lord, the devotees, and to spiritually uplift the people in every way. His managerial, administrative skills. He stayed in his palace as Krishna's caretaker. Now, externally, is there a difference between somebody who lives in a palace
thinking, this is mine. Let everyone see where I live. And someone who's there in the same palace, this is Krishna's. I'm accepting this role because, and I'm accepting this facility because it's the best way to please God. That's what the Lord sees. That's what Krishna sees in us. When I came tonight, I had no idea what I was going to talk about. But I just looked at this house and I said a little prayer. And I began to remember how Raghunath Prabhu and Yamuna Devi, how and why they built this house the way they did, to serve all of us today, to create a pleasing atmosphere for devotees to hear about Krishna and chant the holy names and take prasad and be happy. And this principle, this is where, and it's really the only place in this type of principle of servant of the servants of the servant, where we can find Krishna. And it's the way in which Krishna blesses us to share Krishna with others. And whoever we are, whatever we do, whatever we have, when we appreciate that quality in each other, then we really have a spiritual community that represents the spiritual world where we can truly grow. That sacred purpose is what balances everything in such a way that Krishna will accept it as an offering. When Lord Chaitanya would perform Harinam Sankirtan, there was every type of person in those kirtans on the street. But they had one voice and one heart. There was no high people or low people. There were just brothers and sisters calling out the name of the Lord to inspire each other. And that's Vrindavan. I've been here, it seems like months. because you devotees are so nice. You pack my schedule with a lot of people. But when we were speaking, His Holiness Barsana Maharaj and others were speaking about Madhuban yesterday. When Krishna Balaram would come to Madhuban herding their cows, or Radha, Srimati Radharani and Krishna and gopis would come to Madhuban to perform their beautiful Rasalila pastimes. There's a description, there's many descriptions
the bees. The bees would hum with pure unalloyed love. Can you imagine that humming of bees? It wasn't until just this last year. I've never told the story here at Yamuna and Raghunath's house because this experience only had to happen to me the first time in April of 2022. It was at Govardhan Eco Village. We have a place that represents Badarsana, and there's steps that wind up a hill to go to Shriji Temple. I've walked up those steps many times. Now, when I was in India this last time, in April and May, there was a heat wave. And it was really hot. The average temperature was about 108 degrees. It went up some days to 115 degrees. Sometimes when I woke up at 3 in the morning, you know, to start my sadhana, it was 101 degrees. And it kept getting hotter each moment. And it was the first time in my life I ever got heat stroke. And that's, you know, quite a serious experience. But anyways, I think only this time of the year does this experience happen. First of all, it's the mango season. No other time of the year does such mangoes grow. So if you want the sweetest fruit, you have to suffer. And, you know, they export it and can it, but there's nothing like a mango right off a tree. But they're only like that in April and May and part of June in their best form. But as I was walking up, I heard the most charming sound. I can't imitate it, even though I like to do that kind of stuff. Because it would be disrespectful. It was a humming. It was such a deep humming. It sounds horrible, actually. It was so sweet. It was hypnotizing. It was this low, deep, resounding hum. See? Just talking about it is having an effect. I was actually really mesmerized. And it was around 5 in the morning. Just before the sun. And I just stood in that one place for about an hour, and it started getting lighter and the humming, and it was like the most artistically engineered stereophonic effect, because these hums were coming from different directions and they had different tones, but they filled the air. It wasn't so loud that it's disturbing, but it was so loud that it just filled the air. I never experienced anything like that. And I don't think any of you have done either. And I looked up, and there was these gigantic, pure black bumblebees. They were about this big. Have you ever seen them like that? I've seen big ones here at New Vrindavan, but these were like Vrindavan, old Vrindavan. And when I looked up, their movements were as intoxicating as their humming. They were floating. They were like floating from one, because there was a few trees right there that had a certain flower that grows at that time of the year only, that is so sweet it drives these bumblebees into a mad state of happiness. That humming was rejoicing. They're floating from one flower to another flower to another flower. And there was a lot of them, and none of them came within like 6 feet of each other.
Social distancing.
Huh?
Social distancing. Social
distancing. Social distancing. Social distancing. Social, no. Maybe. I mean, if you say that, you're a mother, so you must know better than me. They were floating from flower to flower, but they just respected their space for each other. In other words, there was no competition, if you want to call that social distancing. They were all just so satisfied. The sight of them, the size of them, the sound of them. And actually, I remembered there are several places in Srimad Bhagavatam where Sukadev Goswami focuses on the beautiful, sweet humming of the bumblebees. Yes? Especially in Madhubana. That's where they're most famous, in Madhubana. Because Madhu means sweet, but Madhu also means bumblebee. Madhubana means the forest of bumblebees, and also the forest of sweetness. And in the name of Krishna, because he's supremely sweet, his name is Madhu too. Mm-hmm. And also, he once killed a demon named Madhu, which is kind of a different way of looking at it. But it includes a lot of different characteristics of Krishna's qualities. But in Madhubana, every leaf is growing to its perfected state as an offering to Krishna. Every flower is blossoming and emitting the maximum love through their fragrance. The breeze, with pure love and devotion, is harmonizing all these different fragrances and beautiful things. The insects, like the bees, the cows, the animals, each and every tree and each and every plant, the clouds in the sky. Everyone is just giving the best they can as an offering of love. That's the spiritual world. That's what makes Vrindavan. It's not that the bees are saying, "And ants, can you hum like us?" The bees see the ants are doing things we can't do. The ants are saying the bees are doing what we can't do. The flower is saying the flower can do what nobody else could do. And everyone's recognizing, and everything, who is a person, every molecular particle of Vrindavan is fully appreciating the offerings of everyone else. There's no ego. It's love.
That's Vrindavan. So I don't know if this is encouraging or discouraging, but when Srila Prabhupada wanted new Vrindavan, this is what he expected us to recognize and strive to offer. So if ever you want to have an experience like you've never had before of sitting under those bumblebees, come to Govardhan Eco Village in April and May. But be prepared. One day, because service has to continue. There was a few hundred college students, the ISKCON Youth Forum. And they were coming for a retreat at Govardhan Eco Village. And I was scheduled to speak to them all. And we have different areas where we have talks, and one is Goloka. It's on top of the hay barn of the Goshala, where the cows are. And it's actually air conditioned up there. But somehow or other, I don't know what I did to technology in my previous lives. But things usually don't work for me. The air conditioner didn't work. It was 108 degrees. I looked on my cell phone. That worked. It was 108 degrees when I walked up there. And when I went inside, they just had a kirtan. And they're, you know, mostly brahmacharis and youth, you know, college. The room was really hot. And they're all sitting on the floor, and I'm sitting on a little platform. I prayed, how am I going to help these young people appreciate the nectarine experience of Govardhan Eco Village? Because when it is that hot, it's hard to really appreciate anything. So I had a thought. I said, because in India, they calculate temperatures by Celsius. And I think it was 45 degrees Celsius that day, which is burning hot. I said, we are here together, and the temperature's not going to change during this class. If you think of it as 45 degrees Celsius, you're going to suffer. If you're thinking of it as 108 degrees Fahrenheit, you're going to think 108, this is the most auspicious temperature. That's your choice. And they all cheered and were chanting and dancing. It's 108. It doesn't get any better than this. This is the most auspicious temperature. But if you think of it as 45 degrees Celsius, yes. Naveen, you've experienced.
I'm from South India. We've seen 47 degrees.
47. That might be auspicious, like 111 degrees. It's not what's around us. It's the way we look for the auspicious blessings, opportunities of Krishna within that moment that makes it beautiful. And that's what makes us grow. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Can we ask a question? Can we take some questions?
There isn't any. Oh, you asked everybody if they want to ask a question because you want to ask a question. Okay, now your subtle hints are becoming clear.
Mars, in the class this morning, you were talking about, you know, what happened to Madhura. So, and he chose to leave the situation of the kingdom. So we see, like, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna and Arjuna talking. Arjuna is, like, stressed out because of the situation that he's facing. And he wants to leave the situation. And Krishna tells him to stay and fight. So in human, the human body has, like, the colors of
fight or flight syndrome
happens. It's like an automatic response when you're in a situation. Your body's going to react in a certain way to produce the energy to fight the situation or to escape the situation. So I guess my question is, how do we know whether to fight to change the situation or to escape it and let it settle itself out? In a personalized situation that we all have. Everyone has situations in our lives where we could say, okay, I'm going to tolerate this and kind of push through, or I'm going to just let it be Krishna and Hari Bolan. Is there any way to really know what is our duty at that moment?
At that moment?
At the moment when you're faced with the fight or the flight tendency. You know, in our makeup, human makeup. And see, we see Arjuna was condemned because he wanted to flight, he wanted to escape. And Vidura escaped the kingdom, the politics and the backbiting that was going on. And he went on a pilgrimage, just kind of like Hari Bolan, that it's going to let it settle out. So they're both, like, glorified. I mean, they're both. I mean, Arjuna fought, being convinced by Krishna. But it's. Anyway, it's kind of like these doubts I'm having about life in general, you know, how we face situations. That's my question, personal and public.
So I got the choice of fight or flight in how I answer your question. Flight means that we should have prasad.
Oh, we get a hard bowl of it.
We will sarita a vidyajala. When we're trying to make this decision ourselves, and when we evaluate the context of Vidura and Arjuna, you know, these are two ways of approaching to answer the question. In regard to Vidura, for years and years and years and years and years, he did what Arjuna did. He stayed and tolerated. It's not that he just haribolled it. From his childhood, practically, he was dealing with all this situation. He could have left any time, but he felt a responsibility to Kunti. He felt, even when the Pandavas were away, he felt a responsibility to protect them by staying in that politically horrible atmosphere. He stayed and fought in his way, year after year after year after year. At a certain point, he actually didn't have a choice to stay or not. He was being driven out. He left before he was physically driven out, simply because he didn't want them to increase their offenses by doing that to him. But what was his choice at that point? He had no choice whether to stay or not. His choice was to begrudge it, or to see it as an opportunity to spiritually grow and take shelter of Krishna in another, in a deeper way. That was his choice. He didn't flight. He surrendered to Krishna. Now let's see the context of Arjuna. Arjuna is seeing the two armies, Kurus, Pandavas. He's seeing his most beloved person, his grandfather, on the opposing side. He's seeing his beloved teacher, Drona, Bhishma, on the other side. He's seeing so many of his relatives, people he loves, people he respects, on both sides. And he was compassionate. He understood what's going to happen here. There's going to be massive bloodshed on both sides. No devotee wants that. So there was his duty of his dharma and the emotions of his compassionate heart. We're pulling in two different directions. And then he became confused, what really is my dharma? Now, what did Arjuna did? He neither, what is it, fight or flight? Is that how to say it?
Fight or flight.
He did neither one. He turned to Krishna. Karpanya doso bahata swabhava. I don't know what to do. You please tell me. He didn't choose to either fight or flight. in that predicament where he just didn't know what was to be done, he turned to his guru and he surrendered to the instruction of Krishna. Now, when situations come to you and me, we're not in a chariot with Krishna, at least not physically. Although, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's speaking the same words to us. Srila Prabhupada's at his palace, we could go ask him. he's there. Can we hear him? So, in a practical way, we need to prepare ourselves for those situations. If somebody's going to college and they have a final exam, do they just, as you say, hadi bolit throughout the semester and then just go to the following exam? Will they succeed? You have to prepare for the final exam. You know, in any athletic event, while you're in the playing field for the tournament, there are so many unpredictable challenges that are going to come to you. But whether it's in India, cricket, in Europe, football, which we call soccer, in America, there's these more whatever you say is all right. There's our football, and there's baseball, and there's basketball, and there's hockey, and there's so many different sports.
Rugby.
Yes, of course. But when you're going to the tournament, you don't know what the opposing team is going to do. You have to be ready for everything, both individually and as a team. What does it require? Preparation and practice. If you're prepared and you practice and you have a good coach, because it's usually the coach that makes a team. Without a good coach, no matter how good the players are, it's not gonna work. So we have Srila Prabhupada as our coach. But the coach doesn't just say, okay, now do it. You have to prepare. And what's the preparation? Attentively chant 16 rounds every day. Follow these four regulative principles, which helps us gain control over our mind and senses. Absorb yourself in service with the spirit of service. Read these books. Come to Srimad Bhagavatam class. Come to Bhagavad Gita class. Come to hear Chaitanya Charitamrita Katha. By Shravanam, by hearing, our intelligence is philosophically, intellectually, and emotionally being prepared to make the right decision, whatever comes. Our taking shelter of the holy names helps us to be in contact with the Paramatma, with Krishna, to guide us in whatever situation it comes. Learning to properly respect and serve and love other devotees and appreciate them helps us to actually develop a character, a disposition, an emotional perspective of life that actually pleases Krishna to empower us. And then when these fight or flight situations, what should we do? We'll be prepared to actually make the right answer. So if we're actually very serious, that's what satsang and sadhana is for. To prepare us so that we can be in the right service attitude to please Guru and Krishna in whatever happens in the day. And we know on any given day, even impossible difficulties are going to come. Things like Arjuna and Vidura and all this stuff. If Vidura was not prepared, he would have been really depressed by that situation. But he was ecstatic. He chose ecstasy over agony. Because he chose, because he was prepared. And Arjuna fought and won. His whole life, even though he was in a confused state, he actually prepared himself his whole life to turn to Krishna in that situation. When everything was out of his control. And Krishna was right there for him. And he was prepared in such a way that when Krishna gave him the instruction, he wholeheartedly accepted. So in all of these situations, it wasn't just the result of a momentary reflex. Or intellectual adjustment. Yeah. It was a life of being prepared by being really connected to Krishna's mercy through our intelligence, our emotions, and our spiritual purpose. When Srila Prabhupada said, if we're not sincerely chanting Krishna's names every day, then Maya, we can fall victim to Maya at every moment. That's just what he's talking about. Because how does Maya make us victims? By putting us in situations where we could either choose Krishna or Maya. And if we're not really strong and prepared in taking shelter of Krishna, then the default is we'll choose Maya. Maya is the default in this material world. Is that the right word, default? Mm-hmm. Yeah, automatically, we're going to make the right choice and fall into Maya. Unless we're having the strength of intelligence, the strength of intuition, the strength of character, and the strength of purpose that's coming by the grace of Guru and Krishna. And when we understand that, we do take this very seriously. You know, if a boxer knows he's going to go into the ring with this person who just will pound your brains out if you're not prepared, if he's going to prepare himself, isn't he? We'll multiply that by millions, and that's what we're facing every day with Maya. She wants to pound her brains out. And we go, oh, okay, another day, let's see what happens. We have to be very, take the preparation, take the training, and take the guidance of the coach very seriously. Individual and as teams, you know, in communities like a team, where we all have our roles in protecting and encouraging and empowering each other. When we know we're in a battle against Maya, we are completely aware that there's just no hope if we're fighting each other. We need to protect each other in this fight against Maya. Even if we don't agree on so many things. Even if we don't like each other. Those are all such superficial details. The only thing that's real important is Maya is everywhere. And she wants to pound us down into her activity. And individually and collectively, we need to prepare ourselves and we need to be united. In many ways, the Sankirtanas, we're all together taking shelter of the holy name. And community is that principle. Does that answer your question?
That was a great answer, and thank you for not flighting away. Standing up
the
question. Thank you so much.
Well, actually, Nityo, that was my way of flighting away. Because then we could meditate on the subject that we just discussed. So with this last words, we will flight away, and I thank you very, very much.
Hare Krishna.